This is a direct voice tape recording of a spirit communicator by the name of Dr. Doherty. It was taken on March the 1st, 1965. The medium is Mr. Leslie Flint. The sitters are Mrs. Betty Green and Mr. S.G. Woods of 11 Elm Road, Worthing in Sussex. Dr. Doherty speaks on his poltergeist activities when he tried to make himself known to Earth after his death. I hope this tape is very clear for you, and don't hesitate to write and let me know if you have problems with them at any time, and I'll only be too happy to help you with them. And I hope you do play them to many people.
Lenny?
Yes?
This sound was recorded on March the 1st, 1965. Medium Leslie Flint, sitters Mr. Wood and Mrs. Green.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Oh, it's ever so nice to see you here today with Auntie
Beth. It's so nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, put the flags out today, mate.
Yeah, I want to thank you and Dr. Marsh for all the kindness you bring me in that hospital.
Well, that's our job. We love you very much.
Thank you very much.
We don't want you over here yet, mate.
Yeah.
You've got some work to do.
And push you back.
Yeah, we won't have a new year.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to come yet.
Well, Mickey, I think I want to say I do a lot more work yet.
Well, you certainly have the opportunity anyway.
Thank you, Mickey.
It's probably a new
name. Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll show it off. Very much better, Mickey.
Got a bit skinny, haven't you?
Well, I feel better, Mickey. A lot better.
Well, you're better for being a bit skinny,
don't you? Yeah, I reckon you look real smashing now, you know. Can't you anywhere now, can you, Betty?
Yes. We fit the name.
Yeah.
I don't take in the big chair now, Mickey.
No, but you look no better for being thinner.
Oh, yes, Mickey, I feel not better. I feel quite all right now. I feel quite well.
You've got to take care of yourself, mate. You don't want to go rushing around doing too much, you know.
No, Mickey, well, she won't let me do it. She's
She's sensible, she is.
But she's been very good, Mickey. She's been very kind. Extremely kind.
Well, she's got you worried up all right, mate. She knows what you can do and what you can't do, what you should do, what you shouldn't do.
Yes, she does.
If you follow her instructions, you won't go far wrong.
No, Mickey, I'm following her instructions, which is very, very strict with me.
Why? What's wrong with that?
I suppose there is nothing.
Perhaps if she'd been a bit strict with you a few years ago, you might not have had a gun into hospital at all.
Oh, yes. Having
an epic, I suppose. You know. You see, it's all very well. You can't race around like a two-year-old.
No. Yes, I
hope so,
Mickey.
Do you release your life with it, honey, mate?
Yes, I feel quite different now. In fact, I feel quite well. Yeah.
That's what you put on the dog when you take it out for a walk, at least, isn't it? I just remembered it's a Lisa knife, I should have said. Ha ha! Well, anyway, it's rather appropriate.
Yeah.
This is holding the reins, mate. Ha ha!
I
was
slapped
him
a little occasionally.
Well, yeah, I wonder if he gets a bit obstreperous, he can always hide his trousers and he can't go out, can he?
Good idea, Mickey.
I can't get the baby in the frock, hold on.
I just couldn't let this morning go past without coming just for a few minutes to have a natter with you. Well, George, jolly glad to see you out and about.
Yes, well, I'm very pleased. Who's speaking?
Marshall.
Oh, Dr. Marshall, I've got to thank you.
Oh, don't thank me. Please, are you too happy to feel that I made some contribution to your recovery?
Well, you did.
And it wasn't I alone, there were others, you know.
I know.
I'm not taking no big wish to take any of the credit.
Will you thank them all for me?
A whole crowd of us there, day and night, you were never left alone. We were all around you, doing everything in our power to assist you, and the doctors, and the nurses. And while we were there, we weren't only looking after you, young man, we were looking after some of the others, in fact, all of the others.
So
we could.
There were terrible suffering there.
There were some that we could do very little for.
Yes.
Indeed, some have already come over here from that ward in which you were in.
Yes, I know.
Anyway, I'm glad to see you are about again. I must say you've chosen the right day to come, haven't you?
Well,
goodness me, hailstones, and goodness knows what.
I thought I'd like to come up again.
Well, I'm jolly glad you've come, and I'm sure you're going to be much better still. As the summer comes along, so will you get better and better.
Yes, thank you.
Well, Betty, you've been a jolly good nurse.
Thank you, Doctor.
She has.
If I ever were to run a hospital, I'd see that you had a job.
Thank you, Doctor, very much.
Yes,
well,
thank
you probably read it.
Sorry, I'm back again.
Yes, he's a good chap. Well, all the very best, Joe. I must go. Other people want to make a contact.
Thank
goodbye
you,
and God bless.
Right,
nice to see you
up
and doing. I do what you don't.
No,
I know
not. Then
he's
very good to me.
He said, don't have a tax of stomach, so be careful what you eat.
Oh, yes. Oh, no.
That's one thing I'm worried about.
Yes, he's got to be a little careful. He doesn't want to give his stomach too much extra work, you see.
Yes.
He wants to be careful to keep off certain things that might form a sort of an irritation, you know.
Yes.
Be sensible.
Yes, sir.
No, please.
No, we're not going to grow one, no.
Oh, ever made him say that?
Yeah, but don't you grow like him, will you?
Yes.
Not in regard to moustaches and things.
Yes.
Because it won't look right on you.
No, I'm quite sure that at that, Mickey. I don't like moustaches.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. 14 children. Was that something that you don't have today? with such a large family, of course, is very rarely able to educate all the children. But my parents were quite comfortably off, and I was able to study medicine. He was a doctor.
Can you tell me?
And I went abroad, and I was in Canada for many years.
Yes.
And I worked there, and in America too. I was in New York for a number of years too. But this part of my life, my later life, was spent in Canada. Hello.
Yes, hello.
It was a most peculiar thing. I'm afraid I was a real hard-bitten materialist. I had no time for this sort of thing. I thought it was of the devil's work, of course, with this a long time ago. And now I'm here. Of course, my ideas are very different. I find it just a little confusing. You must forgive me if I don't speak too well. But it's, I've got a little strange and new. But I've been here now quite a few years. Oh, I suppose now, let me see, 1909, I don't know how many years ago that is. Good number of years. I know what it was to rough it in Canada, too. But I like the hard life and the rough life, too. It has suited me. For many years I was attached to small outposts. I'm chosen. I have no regrets. No regrets at all. I understand you've just come through a very bad time, Mr. George.
Yes, I certainly have.
I'm very glad to know that you're better. You certainly had some fine health persons and doctors around you. As a matter of fact, it is through your being ill that I've really drawn closer to you and attached myself in a sense to you. As a matter of fact, it was Dr. Marshall in the rather soon that persuaded me to take an interest in my healing band. At the time, I was not very happy about it. I thought, well, I didn't believe in all this coming back to life, earth life, you know. But they said, oh, if you could do some fine work and do come and join us. So I joined them. But I still find it very puzzling. Dr. Marshall was very anxious that I should come and speak this morning. But here I am talking to you. It's the most extraordinary thing. The most extraordinary thing. When I first arrived here, after I died, you know, I just couldn't understand it at all. I was something of an atheist, although my mother and father were very religious. Indeed, my mother was an extremely religious woman, and we were all brought up very strict as children. I think it was the background of my childhood that put me off religion, because when I was able to think for myself, and of course, when I became interested in medicine and I understood more about the workings of the human body, I became more and more materialistic, and I had no faith and no belief in life after death and all that sort of thing. I thought it was just a lot of, nonsense. Yeah, I'm afraid I went right against religion as such, and I had very strong views. I'm not an atheist anymore, of course. Seems funny here, am I talking to you from this side of life? I'd never thought I'd be doing a thing like this. Here I am speaking to them. But of course, when I came here, I had to change my thoughts and ideas. I couldn't realize I was dead at all. I just couldn't realize that. I was pacing around the house and trying to make people know I was there, banging here and there, and just picking up the tongs and throwing them down in the fireplace. And they got quite frightened about all this. You know, they really knew what was going on there, inasmuch as they knew that something weird was happening. But they didn't quite understand this, of course, and didn't seem to help me at all. But I gave them Mary Hill for months in that bloody house. But then they got the father to come in and be the ghost. And really, I couldn't see. The guy struck me as very funny. He couldn't have made pussy. Anyway, I got fed up with those pranks. And I thought, after all, it was not right of me to frighten the poor so-and-so's. And I stopped all that. But they put it down and they credited the parson with it, you know, the priest. They thought that he'd laid me, but he hadn't laid me at all. I just thought better about it and thought it was very wrong, perhaps, to do that sort of thing. After all, they were frightened to death. The poor part of me. I didn't forget a part of me. He's coming down the stairs, carrying a bucket of putty. I'm afraid she wondered what happened to that bucket. Smashed it out of her hand and threw it down the stairs. That's a long time ago. I shouldn't have been talking about these things. It sounds so stupid now.
Oh, yes, it's very interesting.
Come on, let's go.
Very interesting. And they do a lot of help, that girl. Good.
I'm much better now. My thoughts and my ideas have changed. And I'm trying now to do something with myself, putting myself together, making something of my life. I realize I was a bit of a so-and-so. I used to drink far too much. I used to drink, you know.
What's your life on the other side?
As a matter of fact, I lost one or two. We're good friends through drink. As a matter of fact, it was the drink that killed me, you know. It was my downfall. I realized that now. It was my downfall. I used to get some bad spinnings in me. I think now I realize that I was in a wee under the bad influences. I did not understand this at the time, but now I can see that. But I'm a different person now. I can honestly see that. My intentions are good, and I'm learning a great deal, and I'm doing some, I hope, at least I'm doing my best to do a lot of good work on the healing, helping the doctors here, and I'm attached to a reception station here for souls when they first come over, so that I'm able to help. I find it very intriguing, very interesting to understand human nature, human beings, the workings of the mind. I'm much more interested in that aspect of life. I often wish that I could do more than I do, but no doubt I shall eventually. It's just a matter of patience. But we've got so many souls that are coming here that are needing help, that are set aside, you might say, in some instances, in conditions which to which their best fit is for the particular case. Doesn't and always do to put too many people together until they're sorted out a bit. I know this sounds strange, that we should have hospitals or that we should have reception stations, but it's very necessary. Sometimes people coming here, and I know from my own experience that it's very necessary, very essential to receive help and to be put into a state of receptivity and to enter into an environment where you can be helped and made to realize what has happened. And some cases, of course, are very bad. And it's the mind that has to be seen to. They have to be made to think differently and made to realize things. And sometimes it's very difficult task, but it's very interesting nevertheless. You know, people don't realize that a man is no more than as he thinks. It's his thoughts that are the predominant factor, and when you consider the circumstances under which many people pass out from your workplace, and when you realize too that many of them have very bad thoughts, very material thoughts, indeed very evil thoughts, then obviously they must be taken in hand. They must be protected for their own sake and for the sake of other people, particularly people on your side that they might influence or they might attach themselves to. Oh, indeed, there are many groups of souls here that go out as a band that endeavor to rescue souls that are earthbound. It's a very wonderful work, and they're brought to reception stations, and they're treated, and they're given help. They're made to realize their responsibility, not only to themselves, but to others, the community. It's really necessary. People have no idea in your world how vast and how complex all this can be. It isn't as simple as perhaps some people might like to think. It's not that anyone is so good that they're going to a wonderful state of heaven, and that some people are so bad that they're going to a terrible condition of hell. There indeed is a condition of life which you might say lies between the two states of being. It's in a way where the Catholics are right, that there is this form of purgatory. It isn't quite a hospitals so that they can be given treatment. I wouldn't have you think, though, that the hospitals are anything like hospitals on Earth. Of course, they're not in any way comparable. They're more like homes or places where people gather together in a harmonious we, in which they can live and work together for a time and adjust themselves. There's no pressure put on people. People, in a sense, have freedom, but at the same time, it's a freedom whereby, the very essence of freedom, whereby they can expand their experience. They're helped by people who are much more progressive than us, but at the same time, no one is forced in any way. It's as if they themselves realize above that surrounds them, and they respond to that love and understanding, and they wish then to learn and to know, and they're given every opportunity. And it doesn't take very long for the average person to adjust themselves. Of course, there are others that don't need this treatment. The average person, you might say, doesn't, but there are difficult cases, and sometimes it's very necessary that they should be, well, held in check a little. But it's done in such a nice way that no one could object. That we see everyone has free will, even he. But at the same time, it's very necessary that they should be made to realize their responsibility to the community as well as themselves. It's not easy to explain this, but perhaps some time later I might be able to.
What's your world like during now? Could you tell us something about it?
To go to these various places and be introduced to various peoples and observed in the past in this environment. Each individual or group of individuals needs beautiful places. There are great cities, great places. At the same time, when you think of a city, you think of noise and dust and traffic and so on your side. None of that exists. Here the cities are laid out and planned in such a beautiful way, and everyone makes their contribution. Everyone gives of himself, from within himself, from his very soul, and in consequence every aspect of life here, in every way in which you can discuss it or explain it, is gorgeous and beautiful, and there is no need for anyone to fear entering into the realms of the spirit. Of course, in a way, there are difficulties at first for some people. I remember my own experiences, but it's not necessary. If a person has a mind that is open and receptive, and if he expresses all that he can from himself that is good, makes every serious attempt to do what is good, then he can never go far wrong, and he finds when he comes here that he'll receive a great welcome from not only friends and relations but other souls, and every help will be given, and he will be given an allotted a place, and he will be helped in that environment until he can, as it were, organize himself in his own way, but to his best ability. No one is fussy, and sometimes it's very necessary, of course, for people to rest, and that's why we have hospitals and reception stations, so that they can rest and they can gradually adjust themselves in a change of life. Of course, we know there are difficult cases, but there are exceptions rather than the rule. Most people find life, when they first come here, very, very pleasant and very indeed overwhelmingly beautiful, and no one need fear dying. It's a great thing to look forward to. It's a great adventure. I wish I could see and talk to you, but I'm afraid I have to go. But it's been very nice meeting you. I hope to come and speak to you again. Anyway, may God bless you. And I'm so happy for you that you're much better, and you'll be able to continue your very good work. I wish you, sir, a very good health and happiness. May God bless you. Goodbye. Goodbye. God bless you. Goodbye.